Women of Hope. This is Jen Guzzi. This is week 7 of our journey through the Upper Room Discourse. A whole lot of Jesus' words for you and I. And I have said it before, I love this, these 4 chapters of Scripture. And Alex did such a good job of explaining the metaphor, the imagery that Jesus has used to kind of build up and describe all of these pronouns that I tend to get lost in John 14. You know, the Father's in me and I'm in him and we're in you. And it just, it sends my head spinning. And when I start reading it, I'm like, what can we use? What will be a good example to kind of help my concrete brain wrap around this great invitation of Jesus that he's with us, in us, that we're in the Father, that he's in the Father, that all of that. So I might have said this in the introduction, but I start thinking about what would be a great what would be a great example that we can use as Bible study teachers. Like, do we get a Venn diagram and throw it up here, or do we get like the little Russian dolls and say, he's in it, and you're in him, and we're in there together, and here we all are in the church. And so I spent minimal time thinking about a good example, thank God, before Jesus was like, how about you use the vine and the branches? So, and that, it's beautiful if we just sit in that. Like, he's been building up, and then he takes us to a garden, and it's like, the Father's the gardener, I am the true vine, and you are a branch. And this is how it all works out. So, Alex did a great job hashing that out with the first few verses of John 15. And we're going to travel through 9 through 17 today. But first, you know, I'm going to bring us to settle into this room and maybe think about that. The invitation today is friendship with God. So I want us to settle in. Get in touch with our bodies, be here, be present, and anticipate, you know, what does God have for you today, personally, in this passage? So let's spend a little bit of time in silence, and I'll invite, well, the Holy Spirit is here, I'll pray for us so that we can pay attention to the Holy Spirit, and then I'll lead us through this lectio. So let's settle in a little bit. Father, help us to pay attention, to receive, to be open to you by your Spirit, the great, great love that you have for us. And that your attention is on us, each one of us personally. That your eye is on us. Lord, you help us to believe that, that you enjoy being with us. And that you want a friendship with us. God is for us. God is alongside us. God is within us. Thank you for the truth of that today. Help us to soak that in. Amen. All right, I'm going to read John 15, 9 through 17. And pay attention. Give the Holy Spirit your attention. What word or phrase might the Holy Spirit want you to pay attention to today, right now, as I read? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Write down a word or phrase that maybe stood out a little bit more. The second time I'm going to read it, I'd love for you to use your imagination. Alex did this last week. Like, imagine you're going on a walk with Jesus. That's what's going on in this passage. Maybe you're in a garden or on your favorite hike. And then he invites you into a friendship. He wants to be friends with you. What does that feel like? What would that friendship be like? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you love one another. What might this friendship be like with Jesus that he invites you to? All right, this last time I read it, what's your personal invitation from Jesus today? It might not have anything to do with the word friendship, but we're focusing on that today. It might be another word, something that stuck out to you. But, yeah. What might Jesus be inviting you to think about more and pray about more today? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. All right, thanks for doing that. I think it's a good practice for us to listen to what the Holy Spirit wants for us. And it's different for everybody. That's what I love about it too. God is that big that he can talk to you personally. And we all have different stories. He knows each one of us very, very personally. I hope we'll see that today. We've been using the word abide in Jesus, abide in Christ, for this study, and it's a word that we don't use every day, or maybe in normal sentence structure in our day. I don't say that, but we kind of chosen abide, and I want to remind us what this means, and then we'll move forward, because it closely resembles the word abode in the Greek. So whatever word you're working with, for this word abide, like in the NIV, it's remain, be connected to, take residence in, stay. That's one that helps me stay. Dwell, a dwelling place, dwell in Jesus, stay in Jesus, stay in the vine, abide in the vine, make your home in the vine. So pick the one that works for you and then stick with that. You don't have to go around telling people to abide. But today we're going to talk about abiding or staying or being connected to the love of God. And we're going to also talk about abiding and staying connected or to friendship with God and that invitation, what that means. So I hope you have heard the heart of God's love in this entire chapter, because it's all in there, and especially this passage that we're covering today in our verse. Even the first line, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. That's three times in one sentence. What an amazing sentence, an amazing invitation. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus is saying that he loves you and me in the same way that God the Father loves him. Let that soak in for a minute. Have you thought about the way that the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit relate to one another? It's like we're invited into this. It's called like a holy dance of love and joy and other-centeredness and giving and receiving. That's what's going on in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's how the world was created, out of that love. We are invited into this dance of the Holy Trinity. It is amazing. God doesn't just love. God is love. Everything in heaven and on earth that is good comes from God. Abide in my love. So that's the first thing. How do I abide? You find the word, stay connected to, dwell, remain. And that's the invitation, remain in my love. Not in my judgment, not in my disapproval of you, not in your works, not in right doctrine. Abide in my love. He asks us to stay in the truth of his love and to soak it in. Remain connected by, take up residence in the very real fact that he loves you in the very same way that God loves him. Jesus loves you in the very same way that God loves him. So moving on into the passage, I know that I come up on a little bit of speed bump, and it might be for you too. We get these if statements. So let's read through those for a minute and see how they strike us. So abide in my love. And then verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then Jesus will go on to say in verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So how do these statements strike you? That's a good question. Let's see where he takes us. What if you can't? Yeah. Well, God is in us, Amy, and that's the good news of the gospel. You guys can talk about it in your small group too. So if you can save your question, thank you, Amy. That's a great question. What if we can't do this? If and then statements really, really send me somewhere. Like, is God being conditional? Is he being conditional? Is he being transactional? If and then statements. If you do, you are my friend, if you do what I command. If you keep my commandments, then you'll abide in my love. So I can easily kind of bow up to statements like this, depending on our personalities. Even when I hear the word, do what I command, I think I hear my dad's voice, like, he kind of raised me, you know, if you love me, Jen, you'll obey me. And man, it messes me up in how I think about God. It sounds like a power play. But Jesus is saying here that keeping his commands, again, goes back to love. He's talking about love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then you remember back in John 13, I think I talked about this the first time we were together. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus summed up all of God's commands like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is what he commands. He's asking us to love and keep his commands to love. But how do you do that? By receiving and abiding in his love. 9 times he talks about love in these 8 verses, and we have to read them in the context of love. And love is a heavy word, isn't it? I mean, we throw it around like love means affection, or love is like a fondness for something, attraction. And so what is love? And we know in 1 Corinthians 13, love is described. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Wow. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. How do we love this way? Back to Amy's question. Do you love God that way? How do we do that? Well, we see the self-sacrificial, protective, generous, life-giving love of Jesus in the next three verses. Let's look at verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So there we see this great love. Greater love has no one than this. And I like to call, we're talking about the love of God. I like to really look in Scripture at all the gifts that he has given us. And wow, has he given us a lot of good gifts. And just this 1.5 chapters of this Upper Room Discourse. And I'm gonna review those with you guys. Right now, in verse 13, we see that Jesus laid down his life. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. He actually gave his life, we know this, on the cross, providing us redemption and eternal life with him into a place that he's preparing for us even now. So Jesus has actually laid down his life for us, his friends. That's one gift. The second gift is abiding. Jesus also gives his life. It's not a sacrificial, like his life, he was killed for us and then resurrected on the cross. He's giving his actual life force so that we might have life in him. That's what it means to abide in the vine. Connect ourselves to the life-giving generosity, love of the Father. Connect ourselves to that. We are a branch. We receive that. We abide in it. And that gives us the power to go and love others. And to go and love Jesus. And to receive his love. So that's the second gift. Abide, remain in the vine. The vine gives life to the branch, and Jesus gives that life to you. He's not just given his life for you, he gives his life to you. Number three, he's given us a home in him, and he's made his home in us. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I think Ashley did it. Number four, we've seen Jesus give us another helper. Katie talked about this. Another helper, an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to come and be with us forever, to remind us of his truth, to comfort us, and to teach us. So that's four great gifts that Jesus is bestowing upon these disciples, giving us before he walks to the cross. And here comes another one, an amazing gift. Number five, the offer of friendship with God. Wow. The gift of calling us his friends. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So let's talk about this idea of friendship with God for a minute. And you guys who are at the South End Women's Retreat, I talked about this all weekend, so this is going to be a little bit repetitive for you guys, but it's still such a great invitation. Dallas Willard is a theologian, and he writes this. It is very important to remember and to always keep before your mind this fact. You are an unceasing spiritual being, created for an intimate and transforming friendship with the creative community that is the Trinity. So sit with that for a minute. You and I are created for a relationship with God. And Jesus came so that we could experience a friendship of unconditional love and acceptance that will never end. Friendship with God. So I want to ask you guys to pause for just a moment and sit with that. Have you ever thought about what a friendship with God would be like? Does that sound inviting? Do you believe God wants to be your friend? Do you believe God likes you enough to want to be your friend, or enjoys you enough to want to hang out like a friend? I'm giving you guys a minute to think about that. Another one of my favorite authors is Kurt Thompson. He wrote The Soul of Shame, and he says this: we are all born into a world looking for someone who is looking for us. And we remain in this mode of searching for the rest of our lives. We are all born into this world searching for someone who is looking for us. Jesus is that someone who is looking for you. Always. He's always got his eye on you. Jesus is a friend that is always with me, a friend that is always for me, and he's also, yes, a friend that fights with me. And he fights for me, just like a friendship. So what does it look like to abide in Jesus in friendship? What is it like to relate to God as a friend? So you might be familiar with all the ways that we relate to God. Maybe some are more familiar or more relatable to you. I mean, there's father and child, father and daughter, creator, creature. There's Lord or King and worshiper. There's savior and sinner and saint. All of those relationships with God. All of those are true and all of those are in scripture. But here we have something a little bit different to look at. Friendship. What does that mean? So in John 14, and again in John 16, Jesus talks about providing us with another helper, the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word is translated paraclete, which is what Katy Perrin talked about. Someone who provides comfort like a good friend, who walks with you in a time of need. Having the Spirit live inside of us is the greatest gift that the risen Christ gives to his people. In fact, in the Message of John 14, verses 15 through 7 says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he will provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth, a friend who is always with you. I no longer call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. All that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. So that sounds like the intimacy of a friendship, right? He's not keeping anything from you. Friends share secrets. Friends share everything. There's an openness. There's no hiding. There's a vulnerability. There's a shared life. So think for a minute about what makes someone a friend to you. You guys just talked about it in your tables. Friends develop a history of shared experiences together. Friends share secrets, inside jokes, vulnerable feelings together. We laugh, we cry, we celebrate with each other, we grieve together. Friends listen to one another, right? Friends fight with and for each other's best interest. Maybe you could try this with God. A real two-way relationship. And I really enjoy this part of my relationship with Jesus, a friendship. Talking to God may be easier for you. Like, just think about what kind of friend you are with God. Do I talk all the time to him? Do I ever listen to him? Talking might be much easier for you. Maybe you just love that he's such a great listener, but maybe you ought to listen to him sometimes. The sermons on the Psalms have been so great for us to practice, you know, sharing our emotions in the presence of God. All of the emotions. That's what a friend wants. He wants us to share our emotions with him. God is my teacher also, as my counselor. He will remind me and tell me, he's like, you need to apologize to Matt for calling him I was joking, but I think that probably hurt his feelings. So I listen to my friend tell me to apologize to my husband. Yeah. I have a shared history. I have a shared story with God. He has known me the longest. And that's true for you too. He has seen you. He's had his eye on you from the beginning of time. He knows what makes you laugh. He knows the important dates in your life, the markers when you tend to be sad. He knows that for me. I have inside jokes with God. We have a whole bit going with dead birds. And that's all I'm going to say, because it's our thing. He knows I think it's hilarious. And then, you know, it comes up. But he also knows these tender moments in my life of, you know, I'm going to be sad in November. I'm going to be sad when the season turns. And he knows this, and he will comfort me as a good friend will. Friends, listen to each other. How much time do you spend listening to God? There's a book called Beyond Loneliness. This quote is on your paper from Trevor Hudson. Like in any good friendship, we need to listen to God. This part of our conversation with God usually takes much longer to develop. We may find listening carefully to someone we can see to be difficult, but what about someone we cannot see? The act of listening to someone we cannot see may raise questions. What does it mean to say that God talks to us? How does this happen? How do we know we're not just talking to ourselves? And since we feel unsure about these matters, we often end up talking all the time. Prayer then becomes a one-way conversation, which is not good for any friendship. That's a lot to think about there. You may find that your friendship with God needs some work. Listening to God requires slowing down. It requires stillness to hear his gentle whisper, his still small voice. And remember, in John 14, Jesus is saying, I'm sending you another comforter to be with you forever, to remind you and to teach you, to remind you of everything that I've told you. That is the role of God as our friend, to remind us. So we need to listen in order for him to remind us of everything he's told us. And what has he told us? Abide in my love. Some of us are afraid to listen to God because you're afraid of what you might hear. He's constantly disappointed in me. I'm not doing enough. Like, I'm afraid of he's going to just point at me like a servant and a master or a boss or an employee that's not living up to it. He has called you friends, and he's here to remind you of everything that he's told you, which is that I love you. How are we going to know anyone if we rarely listen to them? You won't know your good friends, your human friends, if you don't listen to their story, their heart. It's not any different with God. Or maybe you are the friend who is always asking God for something. Or you're always complaining about something, but rarely grateful to him. And rarely expressing enjoyment of him, of being with him. You may discover that you might not be that great of a friend to God. But here's the good news. God chose you to be his friend. It's right here. You didn't choose him. He is the ultimate faithful friend, and he will never, ever unfriend you. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. God chose you. God picked you to be his friend. This is called our union with Christ. Because of Jesus and the work, the first gift that I talked about, because of the work of the cross, you now have union with God forever, and you cannot mess that up. He's always looking at you. He's always pursuing you. He's always loving you. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't mess it up. That is our union with Christ. your role and my role in this friendship is called our co-union, our communion with Christ. This does change. It's depending on me and how much I can attend to this friendship. It depends on my communication with him, my listening, and my abiding. So if you want to participate with your friendship with Jesus and respond to his friendship with you, our communion with Christ, our communicating with Christ, here's a couple things we can focus on, and then we'll close. Focus on receiving and enjoying his love towards you. That doesn't sound hard, but it does, isn't it? Receive and enjoy his love towards you. Abide in me. That's his invitation. Remain, stay connected. Don't forget about me. Circle back around to me. I am with you. I'm in you. Remember that all day long. Number two, emulate his love for you toward other people. Love others like he loves you. That's what he's asking. He wants us to take care of each other. That's how you can respond to this great love and friendship, to love others. It's all over these four chapters. He wants us to care for each other. And how do we do that? By abiding in his love first. We cannot give what we haven't received. I often say this, if you don't have patience for other people or your family, you need to look at how much patience you've received from your Father in heaven. If I find that I don't have love for others, do I feel loved? Have I abided enough in the love of Jesus? The answer is no, because we're supposed to be constantly doing it. It's a great joy. So abide in my love. These two words are connected. The mystery seems to be that the deeper my abiding connection to Jesus is, the deeper Christ is able to work in me to love others like he did. So I don't have to white knuckle this. I don't have to try so hard to love other people. Christ is producing and bearing the fruit of love and the fruit of the Spirit in me because I'm abiding in his love. It's a great deal. It truly, truly it is. It changes us. And that's all he's asking, abide in my love. So participating in your co-union, your communion with Christ also means be a branch. I have been soaking in that phrase for this whole time. Like, Jen, be a branch. Go up here and talk to these women. But be a branch. Connect to me and just see what happens. He chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should abide, that your fruit should last. Without me, you can do nothing. See what God does through you in being a branch as you abide in this life-giving love that he's given us. So I want to close with joy. Another look at verse 11 and verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Have you imagined God as joyful? That might be something to kind of noodle on. He created joy. He is joy. Some of us have these visions of God like he's down here pointing at you and showing you things that you did wrong. He wants to enjoy you. And he wants me to enjoy him. God isn't just joyful. He is the source of joy. So we talked about joy at church last week. You can listen to those sermons again. Here's a quote by Andrew Murray from The True Vine. We are to have Christ's own joy in us. And what is Christ's own joy? There's no joy like love. There's no joy but love. His joy is nothing but the joy of love, of being loved, and of loving. God loves to love. It's wild that we serve a God like this. It brings him joy to love you. And that's something that I've got to sit with that. God enjoys being with you. He enjoys being your friend. C.S. Lewis says the only way we can experience true happiness and joy is by entering the dance of the three personal, the Trinity. Entering the dance of the Trinity. And that's what we're invited to, and that's where we are. God enjoys being with you. He enjoys being your friend. Now, I'm going to close this in prayer, but before I say this, we are going to send you guys an email next week about re-registration and all that stuff, but I'm also going to include a PDF of this book, The True Vine, that it's been so helpful to me. It's like it goes through John 15, like line by line. Like one chapter is called branch, or be a branch, or one's called the vine, or just as is one of the chapters being called. But they're short. It was written in the 1800s, so it's super weird, but also really good. So we're going to send you guys the PDF. It's public domain. It's that old, and it's short. So I want to encourage you guys over the break. I mean, we're going into Thanksgiving, we're going into the holidays, and then we'll be back together at the end of January. I want to encourage you guys to dive into this book as a devotional, and just receive and think about the word abide and what the word you're using to abide. Connect, stay, remain, circle back, and practice that with Jesus, the true vine. So, yeah, it would be a great lead up to Advent season, particularly as we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus. God with us. It's the same thing. So let's pray together, and then we can use smaller time. God for us, God alongside us, God within us. Jesus, Father, you are the great gift giver. Help us to abide in you and abide in your love. And as we find along the way that this stuff is hard to believe, help our unbelief. You are there as a friend to remind us everything that you have spoken to us, and this is part of it. I pray that you would help us to abide in you during the break, that your spirit would work, and that we would all just enjoy being with you as a friend, this friendship with God, and that we would feel enjoyed by you. So, thank you for this time. In your son's name we pray. Amen.